Good morning. I'm Cynthia Schuster in for Joy Cardine on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 7:07 on Wednesday, January 22nd. Tonight, Governor Walker delivers his State of the State address, and you can hear it right here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio starting at 7 o'clock, streaming online as well at WPR.org. And before we hear the governor's take on the State of the State, we ask for yours in this week's Big Question. As you look at the state of affairs in Wisconsin, how do you think we're doing? Is the state of the state strong or not? And why do you believe so? You can give us a call at 1-800-642-1234. That's 1-800-642-1234. Our email address is talk@WPR.org. Or you can also answer our big question on the online poll at WPR.org/joy. Joining me this hour is Brian Schimming, Vice Chair of the Republican Party of Wisconsin. Good morning, Brian.
Good morning. Thanks for inviting me.
And Melissa Baldoff. She's the Communications Director of the Democratic Party of Wisconsin. Hi, Melissa.
Hi. Thanks for having me on the show.
Well, let's start with the big question. What is the state of the state, Brian Schimming?
State of the state, I've been around for several of them. The state of the state is really the governor's opportunity every year to kind of lay out where he sees the state and where he sees the state going. Tonight is a very, very important one because the governor will announce a number of tax cuts and a number of tax relief measures for the people of the state, because the governor wanted to go forward rather than go backward and take the state that way. And he made tough but prudent decisions. I always have to remind people what he inherited when he took over: a $3.6 billion budget deficit, billions of dollars in tax increases over the previous 8 years. The state had been raiding people's gas tax money to pay for other programs. We had unemployment. Actually, when the governor took over, we had unemployment at 9.2%. So he probably historically inherited one of the toughest situations a governor's ever inherited in this state. And because he made prudent decisions and Republican legislature made prudent decisions, we're now in a situation where we have some surplus monies coming in. And the governor's philosophy is it's the people's money, it's not state government's, and we should give it back.
Melissa, do you agree with that assessment?
Well, I do agree that this is a very important speech that the governor is going to give, but I disagree about the state of Wisconsin right now. While it is important to look forward, it's also important to look at what's happened since Scott Walker took office. And he ran on a central campaign promise to create 250,000 new private sector jobs. And, you know, we're not even going to get halfway there. So I think what's important is to talk about where we are, and where we are right now is 37th in the nation in job creation, down from 11th in the nation the day Scott Walker took office. And I also would like to point out that unemployment was not at 9.2% when Walker took office. It was right around 7.5%. So while we have fallen in unemployment rate, and that's good, the fact is that not enough Wisconsinites are back to work, and the prospects on the horizon are not that great either. Right now, Forbes magazine has us 45th in the nation in job growth prospects, and we're ranked 48th, almost dead last, in new business startups. But, you know, it's not just about those numbers and those rankings. It's about the inattention to jobs and the economy, and that has a real harmful effect on Wisconsin families.
Brian, is the job situation going to be a weakness for Governor Walker this year, especially in a re-election year?
I don't think so at all. I think it's actually going to end up being a strength. We've created tens of thousands of new jobs in Wisconsin. The governor, of course, we always want to do better, but we've created tens of thousands of new jobs in the state. You saw the recent announcement about the Amazon, not one facility, but two facilities, employing almost 2,000 people in Kenosha County. The state's the state's unemployment rate is under the national average, and so Wisconsin is doing better than the nation as a whole. And you look at, speaking of ratings, you look at the level of business confidence in Wisconsin. That is to say, the way jobs creators look at the state. At one point, it had been as low as 4%. By the way, when Mary Burke was Commerce Secretary, it's now 95%. Well, those numbers make a difference because it helps businesses like Amazon decide, is Wisconsin a good place to go and grow? And they've clearly made that decision. Look, if they want to talk about jobs creation, I'm more than happy to contrast ourselves versus the Doyle Burke administration. I am happy to have that debate. Look forward to it.
What's your response to that, Melissa?
Well, if you want to make a comparison to the national economy, I would look at the fact that we're growing jobs at about half the national average and about less than half of our neighbors to the west in Minnesota, who has recovered all of the jobs that they lost in the Great Recession and then some. So the fact is, even though we are improving, we're not improving at the same rate as the rest of the nation and as the rest of our neighbors in the Midwest.
Perhaps Melissa might do well to look at the numbers. 133,000 jobs left the state during the Doyle-Burke administration. 133,000 left the state. In fact, when Mary was Commerce Secretary, we had Wisconsin's worst job loss since 1958, a record job loss. So you look at those kinds of numbers and say, okay, is Wisconsin in a better place than we were 3 years ago when Scott Walker was elected to office? And I'd remind you, with respect, and I hope we get into this, to Act 10 and some of the reforms that the governor and the Republican legislature has pushed along. Where's Mary Burke? Where's Mary Burke on Act 10? Where's Mary Burke on the jobs issue? I mean, we've asked repeatedly, the press has asked for her jobs plan. Her response last month was that she'd have a jobs plan within the next 10 months. Well, if this was the critical issue for her to run for office, we haven't seen it yet.
Melissa, do you suppose that's a strategy, a campaign strategy for Mary Burke to hold off on offering that information?
Well, I certainly won't speak for Mary Burke. She will do that on her own. I will say that I think that she is going to take her time to have a very thoughtful, detailed jobs plan, not one in 100-point font. I think she will have a very serious jobs proposal because this is a very serious issue for Wisconsin families and who are, you know, unfortunately not saying that they are doing better than they were 3 years ago. And that's what it's about. It's about what the people in Wisconsin are saying. And right now, public polling is showing that 70% of Wisconsinites say their personal financial situation has stayed the same or gotten worse since Scott Walker came into office. So it's about what these people are experiencing all across Wisconsin, and overwhelmingly, they don't say that they are doing better.
Well, you know, we, with all possible respect to Mary and Melissa here, the truth of the matter is the state Democratic Party and their left-wing allies down at the Rotunda in Madison, they pushed a recall election, as you know, onto this state. And they were just as sure as they could be that the people of this state, because of the reasons that Melissa seems to be suggesting here, would punish Scott Walker for the Act 10 reforms and for everything he's been doing to create jobs in this state. Well, then we had that recall election, didn't we? And the governor and lieutenant governor were essentially reelected midterm by a bigger number than they'd been elected to in the first place. So in some ways, Scott Walker, unlike most governors, got a midterm report card, and the voters reelected them. So I all this rhetoric is fine. But when the voters had a chance, as they will again, when the voters had a chance to make a decision on Scott Walker, they wanted to keep him in office, and they did.
Melissa?
Well, I think there's a much clearer picture on the way that Scott Walker and the Republican Party have failed on job creation. And the fact that, you know, after the recall election, Scott Walker said there were going to be these unbelievable amounts of new jobs because there has been consistent blame placed on anyone else but Scott Walker for the failures. It was the protests. It was the recalls. It's been the weather. It's been Obamacare. It's been Syria. It has been any number of reasons except for Scott Walker and the Republican Party's failure to invest in jobs in the economy, and they've instead pursued social legislation that does nothing to create jobs. So I think that people have had more time to see how this has harmed Wisconsin and how this has harmed Wisconsin families.
I'm Cynthia Schuster. We're talking with Melissa Baldoff. She's the communications director of the Democratic Party of Wisconsin, and Brian Schimming, vice chair of the Republican Party of Wisconsin. It's our big question this week. What is the state of the state? We prepare to hear from Governor Walker on that matter tonight at 7 right here on the Ideas Network. And we want to hear from you. Our phone number is 1-800-642-1234. That's 1-800-642-1234. 1234. Our email address is talk@wpr.org. You can also find us on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or vote in our online poll at wpr.org/joy. I'm Cynthia Schuster, in for Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. this week's big question, what is the state of the state? We will hear from the governor tonight at 7 o'clock. You can tune in tonight on the Ideas Network, or you can stream us online at WPR.org to hear the governor's take on what is the state of Wisconsin. I'm joined this hour by Brian Schimming, vice chair of the Republican Party of Wisconsin, and Melissa Baldoff. She's communications director for the Democratic Party of Wisconsin. If you have any questions or you'd like to submit your assessment of the state of the state, our phone number is 1-800-642-1234. That's 1-800-642-1234. Our email address is talk@wpr.org. Last week, the Legislative Fiscal Bureau reported the state is projected to run a surplus of more than $900 million. Melissa, is that good news to you?
I think it's potentially good news. You know, the national economic recovery has led to higher than expected tax revenues and projected budget surpluses in nearly every state, 37 states in the nation, including Wisconsin. So, you know, that is potentially good news. But I think that all signs are pointing to, you know, Scott Walker and Republicans in legislature spending this unexpected windfall in kind of the same irresponsible way that they have in the past. You know, it looks like he's got a plan that is going to just add to our deficit. And I don't think that is a responsible way to spend this money.
Well, Melissa's very good at her job as being a spokesperson for the Democratic Party, but I have to tell you, to say that Barack Obama's, quote, recovery is leading to Wisconsin being in better shape, was the national unemployment rate, Barack Obama's unemployment rate is higher than Wisconsin's, Scott Walker's, but apparently that's a recovery, and Scott Walker's is a failure. Look, it's terrific news that we have a surplus coming in, but it's only terrific if you do the right thing with the money. And what we will see tonight, it's about $900-some million surplus, and what we will see tonight is tax relief across the board, a lot of targeted tax relief of over $400 million in property tax relief for the people of Wisconsin. We'll see probably $100 million or north of that in income tax relief for the lowest bracket folks. I think they're going to reduce some brackets and do some other things. We'll reduce income tax withholding, several hundred million dollars of that. Totally, in Scott Walker's term, we'll have delivered $2 billion, roughly, in tax relief. Well, I think that's a victory. It only came because we made prudent decisions after Jim Doyle and the Democratic Party left us $3.6 billion in deficit when Scott Walker took over. It took prudent and sometimes tough decisions to get to the point that we're at. But I guess the real question is, philosophically, I think the difference tonight is, and that you'll see laid out, is Governor Walker is saying, it's not the state's money. It's not state government's money. The fact that we have a surplus does not mean it's state government's money. It's the people's money, and we ought to give it back to them. Now, if Mary Burke and the Democrats have an alternative view, I hope that we hear it tonight faster than we've heard about Mary Burke's supposed jobs plan. Because, right, she said several months ago she was going to make a no-promises campaign, and I'll say this for her, she's lived up to that. But I will be interested in hearing what the Democrats have to say tonight against giving people's money back in this state. Hardworking Wisconsinites giving their money back, because it is their money.
Melissa, do you agree with the use of that money, or the property tax cuts and the income tax changes that that we're seeing as proposed in more detail tonight?
Well, I think that tax cuts for working families is where Scott Walker should have started 3 years ago, instead of putting wealthy corporations and special interests first with the more than $2 billion in tax cuts that he gave them in the first budget. You know, now that he's in this tough reelection fight and, you know, looking to up his appeal nationwide, I don't think it's really surprising that he's now finally trying to give some relief to working families. But, you know, I don't think people are going to fall for it overall. Do I think it's great to target some relief? Absolutely. But it's got to be done in a way that's responsible. And overall, this plan that Scott Walker has puts our us in worse financial shape. It's adding $100 million to the structural deficit. So is it going to be done in a way that's responsible? Is it going to replace the damage and repair the damage that's already been done? You know, nearly $1 billion in cuts to public education and our technical college system. So it's got to be a way that's done smartly and that actually benefits working families who have already been hit so hard.
And what Melissa refers to is I'm looking at a Milwaukee Journal Sentinel report this morning that this plan by the governor would add about $100 million to the $725 million shortfall projected for the next budget cycle. Is that a concern to you?
It's Brian? Not. It certainly is not to me, because the governor will have a plan to put everything. Look, we're considering we're $3.6 billion in the hole when we started. This structural deficit will get taken care of within this budget. I'm actually literally not worried about that. And this is about my 10th, 12th budget around here. And I've seen a lot of governors not handle these things well. Scott Walker will handle it well. But also, I think the point is, within the budget the legislature passed, the main budget that they passed last year, we want to live as close to that as possible. And bringing already, I mean, Senator Larson, the Democrat leader in the Senate, already was saying that we should flush $800 million into the school aid formula or some other. Look, the people had a chance to say whether they liked Governor Walker's first budget and the Act 10. The Democrats seemed to be so certain that the governor was going to get defeated on the very issues that Melissa's talking about now, and he got reelected midterm. So, frankly, if this is the broken record that they're going to use, the same thing that they used during the recalls, they're not going to be successful. And frankly, if the Democrats want to go to the floor in the legislature, in the Assembly, and the Senate, and vote against worker training, part of the package, against cutting property taxes, against cutting income taxes, and everything that will be in the governor's package tonight, I welcome them to do so.
Let's welcome a caller into the conversation. We have Ron in Hillsdale. Hi, Ron.
Hi there. See, I would just like to say something here. I'm a private sector worker. My wife is a public sector worker. And I'll tell you that the private sector took a hit long before the public sector did, long before, years before. Is a $900 million surplus potentially a good thing? Of course it's a good thing. I'd much rather be in the black than be in the red. I think he's doing a good job. Job creation, you know, she mentioned excuses that the Republicans were given. Well, one of those excuses she mentioned was Obamacare. If you want to create jobs, get rid of Obamacare. I've been listening to Information Radio for a long time. I'm listening to the right wing. I'm listening to public radio. I listen to it across the board. I know what's going on.
Well, let's get Melissa's take on that first of all. Melissa, what is your response to Ron?
Well, I think that, you know, Scott Walker had a chance to create jobs by expanding Medicaid in the state and taking funds available under Obamacare. That would have created up to 10,000 new jobs, according to the nonpartisan Legislative Fiscal Bureau. It would have saved the taxpayers more than $100 million, and we would have insured tens of thousands more people if we did it that way. Also available under Obamacare are measures to negotiate lower rates for consumers who are buying plans on the marketplace. And if you look to Minnesota, the premiums there are, you know, in the neighborhood of 70% to 80% lower than comparable plans here in Wisconsin.
Well, the Democrats love to talk about Minnesota, and we'll get to those comparisons. The better comparison from how they were running the state when Scott Walker inherited it was Illinois, and we see where Illinois is right now. Look, the caller made two very good points. Number one, and I say this as a former public employee, by the way, and other members of my family the same, working people in this state have been taking hits for years. And frankly, they've been taking a lot of taxes for years. And so the governor's trying to provide relief to the hardworking people of the state. Secondly, on the issue of Obamacare, where's Mary Burke on Obamacare? She's refused to say where she is on the Obamacare issue, an issue, by the way, that now is a 15-point loser in the polling, in every poll that I've seen, 12 to 15-point loser in Wisconsin. Now, that may be the reason Mary Burke is not saying much about Obamacare. But, I mean, the Democrats wanted the governor to fall for what they would have fallen for, and that was to take in the federal government's Medicaid bait, which would have cost Wisconsin taxpayers billions and billions down the line. Governor made some long-term decisions. He made the right ones. We're going to cover more people under Medicaid as a result of that. So the governor's smart enough not to take that bait, but the Democrats would have.
Melissa, how has that decision by the governor not to take that financial aid from the federal government for health care, how does that factor into the state of the state in your mind? And we only have about a minute before news.
Sure. You know, I just, again, think that it was a huge mistake, one of the biggest mistakes that he could have made to not take this federal expansion money, because that means that Wisconsin's tax dollars are just going to pay for this expansion in other states. We're sending our tax money to other states when we could have had it right here in Wisconsin, ensuring more Wisconsinites at a cost that would be lower to the taxpayers.
That was Melissa Baldoff. She's the communications director of the Democratic Party of Wisconsin. And we're also talking with Brian Schimming. He's the vice chair of the Republican Party of Wisconsin. We're asking today's big question, what is the state of the state? Governor Walker delivers his State of the State address to a joint session of the legislature tonight at 7 o'clock, and you can hear it live on WPR. It's hosted by WPT's Frederica Freiberg and WPR's Sean Johnson, beginning at 7 o'clock. That's tonight on the Ideas Network. And we invite you to offer your assessment of what is the state of the state at 1-800-642-1234. That's 1-800-642-1234. You can also vote in our online poll at WPR.org/joy. I'm Cynthia Schuster, filling in for Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. What is the state of the state? That's our big question this hour as we prepare to hear from Governor Walker on the matter tonight on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio starting at 7 o'clock. Good morning. I'm Cynthia Schuster in for Joy Cardine, and this is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. This hour, we turn the question to you as well. What is the state of the state? You can call in at 1-800-642-1234. That's 1-800-642-1234. Our email address is talk@WPR.org, and we have a poll that you can vote in on at WPR.org/joy. My guests this hour are Brian Schimming, vice chair of the Republican Party of Wisconsin, and Melissa Baldoff. She's communications director of the Democratic Party of Wisconsin. So we've been talking so far this hour about the state of the state, tax cuts, Act 10, many comparisons so far to Minnesota in terms of job creation. But I'm wondering, as the conversation continues to point back to Scott Walker, at least criticisms, praise altogether going to him, is it possible to remove the governor from the equation as we assess the state of the state? And I'll start with you, Melissa.
No, I don't think that it's possible to remove the governor from the state of the state. You know, I think that the choices that have been made that have affected our state are Scott Walker's choices. You know, we have seen the Republican legislature really fall in line with all of his plans and what he's wanted to do. So I think that the state of the state and the state of our economy, which is not great, is something that Scott Walker needs to own.
Brian?
Yeah, I want Scott Walker to be part of the message tonight, frankly, because it provides such a clear contrast. Look, the decision in the election will end up being this. Is the state going to move forward or backward? That's really the decision that the voters are going to. And when you're the incumbent, obviously the incumbents get judged. Scott Walker welcomes that debate. We welcome the debate on jobs. We welcome the debate on cutting taxes. We welcome the debate on whether we want to go back to the years of Jim Doyle and Mary Burke and high unemployment, jobs leaving the state. I don't think that's an issue that, Mary Burke, with all due respect to her, is going to be able to debate well. And listen, now the Democrats, Mary Burke is their anointed candidate. They did not want Senator Vineout to run in this primary, and but for the awful car accident that she got into, she would be running in that primary. When she pulled out, she didn't say, I'm not running because I've suddenly decided not to run. She decided, she said she couldn't run because of the accident she'd been through. So they'd have a primary right now. Well, the worst kept secret in the state capitol was that the Democrats in the state Democratic primary party did not want a primary to Mary Burke, so Mary Burke could hide a little bit longer. But at some point, Mary Burke's going to have a jobs plan. At some point, Mary Burke's going to have to talk about the company that she was involved in that was shipping so many jobs to China. She got cited, their company got cited by Barack Obama's Department of Labor. So, I mean, at some point, Mary Burke's going to have to say something. And this no promises campaign, easier to do as a challenger, I suppose. But we're happy to put Governor Walker's record up against going back to the years of Jim Doyle and Mary Burke. It will be a very plain contrast.
And Melissa, as I listen to Brian speaking here, we hear a lot of Mary Burke and Jim Doyle tied together. Do you agree that the two are synonymous? Do you think that these links between Mary Burke and Jim Doyle will help or hurt her as she goes forward with her campaign?
Well, I think that Mary Burke has a very strong record of job creation in the public and private sector, and as well as experience in the nonprofit sector. If you want to look at Mary Burke's record, she increased sales from $3 million to $50 million a year when she led the European division at Trek. And when she was the secretary at the Department of Commerce, Wisconsin had 84,000 more jobs than we have today, and our unemployment rate was 2 points lower than it is now. Our economy outperformed the national rate of job growth instead of bringing up the rear. So I think that Mary Burke has a very strong record of success in her endeavors across the board, and I'm sure that's something that she will talk about in this campaign. And I think contrasting that with Scott Walker's record on jobs especially is something that we very much want to talk about.
Well, frankly, Mary Burke's been good at creating jobs, all right, in China, in another country. So, I mean, you're taking Wisconsin workers' jobs and putting them in another country. I mean, when it's so bad, the Department of Labor, including twice, not once, but twice, cited her company for shipping Wisconsin jobs. I mean, I don't think that's realistic. And frankly, I think if Mary Burke, she'll end up having, she was part of the Doyle administration back when the Scott Walker inherited an economy, a national economy in the tank. Listen, here's a quote from my friend Mary Burke. Quote, I support Governor Doyle's policies entirely, unquote. I think it's probably fair to say then that the comparisons between where she and Jim Doyle took the state, a $3.5 billion budget deficit, hundreds of millions of dollars, billions, and or a couple billion dollars in new taxes, I think that's fair discussion.
Let's take a call. I'll let you respond, Melissa, and then we'll take a call.
Great. I just wanted to make one more point. You're talking about, Brian's talking about Trek, and Scott Walker's flagship jobs agency, the Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation, up until just a couple of months ago, had Trek promoted in material available online and in print as a Wisconsin success story. So I don't think that it is sends a very strong message about Scott Walker's record on jobs when what they're pivoting to is attacking a Wisconsin success story and a very successful Wisconsin business that's created thousands of great paying jobs for people here in Wisconsin. So, I just think it's unfortunate to trash a business that is so great for Wisconsin and that was touted as a success story by an agency that, repeatedly broke the law and failed to track taxpayers' money.
Okay, let's take a call from Cody in Oshkosh. Hi, Cody.
Hi there. Yes, the Republicans like to tout these numbers like a $3.9 billion deficit that they inherited from Doyle. They didn't inherit any deficit. Wisconsin's Constitution requires that we pay off our debt every year. They criticize Doyle for taking out loans. They're taking out loans right now. Now they're going to try to give the money away like, oh, the hardworking taxpayers' money. No, it's all debt that they've accumulated since Walker's been in office. And your guest says, well, I'll count on Walker to make good decisions. We saw what his good decisions on balancing the budget last time. Public sector unions, public schools, they're trying to decimate the unions and decimate the schools and privatize everything, just like the Koch brothers and the rest of the big money says they should do. Thank you.
Brian, what's your response to Cody?
Well, I say, you know, first of all, Governor Walker did pretty well in our caller's area of the state, so I'm not sure all of his neighbors probably agree with him on that point. Look, last time I was on the show last month, I was debating my good friend John Nichols, and John was doing all that kind of Koch brothers rotunda-based rhetoric that the Democratic Party has tied their wagon to. Well, that day I was in Wausau, and when I got to Wausau the night before, I went to the local bowling alley and they had the $5.99 meatloaf special and sat and watched TV and watched a game, and of the dozens of people in that bar, I didn't hear anyone trashing Scott Walker and his jobs creation record or any of this other kind of thing. They're just worried about jobs and getting their taxes down and being able to have a good quality of life and moving the state forward. That's where the governor's taking the place. If the Democratic Party wants to do the rotunda rhetoric of the demonstrators at the rotunda, we welcome them to do so. But I'll tell you what, the voters of this state had a look at that rhetoric and they rejected it and gave Scott Walker the biggest victory, the biggest number of votes ever for a candidate for governor in either party in Wisconsin. If the Democrats want to ignore the kind of midterm signal the voters sent them, it seems to me they're doing it at their peril.
Melissa?
Well, again, I think that this just gets back to looking at the decisions that have been made by Scott Walker and Republicans and the fact that all of those decisions have ignored real people's needs, their priorities, and their long-term economic security. And that's a discussion we'll continue to have.
One subset of issues that we've seen come through the legislature over the course of Governor Walker's term so far pertain to women's issues. Do you think that that would be addressed tonight during the State of the State, Melissa?
Oh, absolutely not. I think that it should be. If you know, obviously these are positions that Scott Walker has, and this is what he believes, and I think he should be open and honest instead of signing, you know, bills that repeal pay equity protections for women in private. I think that he should publicly come out and say that he doesn't support women having access to birth control, as has been his record when he was in the legislature. I think he'll want to avoid those conversations, but I think it's important to talk about them and talk about where he really stands. And I just think it's part of the larger picture in the Republican Party nationally where, you know, more about a year ago, they had this big rebrand. They wanted to change their image to where they were a party that was more inclusive and they could appeal to women and minority voters. And I think overwhelmingly we've seen that attempt to rebrand has just completely failed because they've pursued the same kind of outdated policies.
Brian?
Well, the Democrats are a party of division, and of course they will head that way in any campaign, and that is particularly the case in Scott Walker. You look at the rhetoric we just heard, you look at the rhetoric that we heard during the recall elections, and they're playing that broken record again, which is fine. I think, again, the issue is whether the state and its people are going to go forward or backward, and the governor's message tonight is going to be about job success, is going to be about tax success, and getting people's tax money back to them, the surplus back to them as quickly as we can get it to them, the hardworking people of this state, and bringing everybody along so we can have a greater state. Look, we're heading in the right direction, and we had a midterm report card on it, and the people agreed with Governor Walker. We'll have another one this November, and I think tonight's speech will be an important contrast between where the governor wants to take the state and why the Democrats want to take the state backwards. I can't imagine it, but the governor wants to go forward, and tonight he'll signal that again.
As we prepare to hear from the governor, he's been talking a little bit about the surplus that's projected for the next budget, and he's attributed that success to his tools and reforms, Act 10 and other things as well. Brian, do you share that assessment? And what tools and reforms do you think are most to credit for this?
I do share that assessment on Act 10. As I say, I've been around for several budgets, and we kept kind of nicking at the edges rather than doing real reform and giving local municipalities and school boards the flexibility to do what they needed to do. And part of the deal with local school boards and municipalities was, we'll give you flexibility. We'll give you the reform. We're not just going to keep pouring money out the door of the state capital and redistributing it to local governments. We want to give you tools. Well, the local governments have used those tools to the tune of hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars. When I travel the state, I hear this from local officials all the time, because they finally have the tools to save money and to do some things that they haven't been able to do before. And that is certainly the case on the state level as well. So Governor Walker's reform-mindedness is something that we've used at the state level, but also local municipalities are using. And we're feeling the success of that down there. And those were issues, by the way, that were litigated and talked about very plainly, morning, night, and day, during the recall election. So we look forward to having that debate. And frankly, we look forward to hearing where Mary Burke is on Act 10, because we have not heard it yet.
And Melissa, does the governor deserve credit for those tools in Act 10 for this surplus?
No, I absolutely not. I think that, again, the surplus that's projected, and this isn't money in the bank. This is projected revenues that have increased. We're seeing this in 37 states in the nation. This is buoyed by the national economic recovery. But if you want to talk about these, tools, some schools across the state have just been cut to the bone. There are dozens of school districts in this state that are having to go to an operating referendum, meaning they are going to have to seek additional tax revenue at the local level to keep the doors open. This isn't, we want new construction. This is to keep the doors open. So I think that some of these schools have just been cut to the bone. We've lost some excellent teachers, unfortunately. And I don't think that this was done in a way that was responsible, which is a theme, I think, of the governor, is to make these decisions without really thinking through all of the consequences.
We have time for some closing statements from each of you. First of all, I'll start with Brian, and then we'll go on to Melissa. If you were to write tomorrow's headlines and say the state of the state is blank, what would be the topmost description and reason for that?
I would say that the state of the state is looking towards the future and big and bold, and returning surplus tax monies to the people of the state, who it's their money. They deserve to have their money back, and an opportunity to move the state into the future and not back into the past.
Melissa.
I would say that the state of the state is not strong, and I would say that what we need to focus on are things that actually drive our economy and help towards a long-term recovery, things that put people's needs first to help us really grow.
Well, thank you both for coming in this morning to talk about the state of the state.
Thanks for inviting me.
We heard from Brian Schimming. He's vice chair of the Republican Party of Wisconsin. And Melissa Baldoff. She's communications director for the Democratic Party of Wisconsin. And we turn the microphone over to you now. What is the state of the state? You can call and join our sound off at 1-800-642-1234. That's 1-800-642-1234. Our email address is talk@WPR.org. Don't forget to vote in our online poll at WPR.org/joy. I'm Cynthia Schuster, in for Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We've been asking the big question this hour: what is the state of the state? The governor will give his State of the State address tonight at 7, and you can hear it right here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Wisconsin Public Television's Frederica Freiberg and WPR's own Sean Johnson will host the special live from the state capitol. That all begins tonight at 7 o'clock here on WPR. In the meantime, we ask you, what is the state of the state? During our sound-off portion, you'll have 30 seconds to give us your assessment. Before we move on to another caller, you can call in at 1-800-642-1234. That's 1-800-642-1234. Our email address is talk@WPR.org. And you can also vote in our online poll at WPR.org/joy. We'll go to Tim in Osseo. Tim, what's your assessment on the state of the state?
The state of the state is threefold right now. It's cold, it is full of division, and it's full of preformed talking points. We could have gotten the entire last show from going online and listening to the Republican Party and the Democrat Party's talking points.
Thanks, Tim. We'll go next to Freddie in West Allis, I think. Freddie?
Hi, West Allis, that's right.
Thanks.
The state of the state is structural budget deficits and no job growth.
What do you what do you take from that? Why not?
Well, the $900 billion and some dollars he suddenly came up with, where would that have been spent? Would that have been spent on roads and infrastructure, on jobs creation, on environmental programs? And by the way, the environmental degradation of this administration is just awful.
Thanks for your call, Freddie. We're taking your assessment on what is the state of the state. We'll hear from the governor on that tonight at 7 o'clock. 1-800-642-1234 is our phone number. David on Facebook writes, the state has a surplus because it has taken from the working and the schools and is now going to offer some of that money back so as to appear it has really made great strides for the people of Wisconsin. Meanwhile, the state's richest resources are flowing out of the state to the wealthiest. We'll go to Glenn in South Milwaukee next. Hi, Glenn.
Hi. I think anybody who is refusing to admit that the state isn't way better off than it was 3 years ago is simply refusing to face facts. I think it's cut and dry, very, very obvious. Go Scott Walker.
Thanks, Glenn. We'll talk next to Ian in Appleton. Hi, Ian. Ian, are you there?
Oh, this is Dean.
Oh, Dean.
Yes. I think the state of the state is very poor right now. We're not investing in our greatest resource. That's our kids. We're taking money away from our kids right now.
Thanks, Dean, for your call. 1-800-642-1234, the number to sound off on the state of the state. Tom in Mequon joins us. Hi, Tom.
Hi, thanks for letting me on. I'd like to state that I don't believe that the state is doing very well. I give it a fair at best. The Republican representative kept talking about how bad the state was in when Walker got in power, and the reason that is that at a national level, the economy tanked in 07, 08, and that was directly because of the Republicans in charge back then, which has now gone across the whole country and damaged the country. And especially, they talk about building jobs, but yet they cut, especially funding to the tech schools.
Okay, Tom, we actually are out of time. Thanks for your call there. 1-800-642-1234, giving 30 seconds to you to talk about the state of the state. We'll go to Charlie in Milwaukee. Hi, Charlie.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. The state is in much better situation despite very trying and difficult political situation that was proposed by the opposition. I think Governor Walker's done a great job in very trying circumstances. Thank you.
Thanks, Charlie. Paul in Tomahawk. Hi, Paul. Paul, are you there?
Paul in Tomahawk. Hi, Paul.
Okay, Paul's listening to the radio. I'm going to go to Marv in Milwaukee. Hi, Marv.
Hi. The state of the state, are you better off today than you were 4 years ago? Scott Walker, unknown to many people, when he left Milwaukee County, he left it in tatters. He left a $90 million deficit. And it's the same thing in the state of Wisconsin. I think the people who are benefiting are the billionaires, John Menard, and the people, women, teachers, who happen to be females.
Thanks, Marv. Thanks to all who have called in and who tuned in to hear the state of the state assessment from our Democratic Party spokespeople. And thanks to Christy Taylor and Bill Martins for producing this hour, Robin Cherry for on-air direction, and Marika Suval for on-air production. On our online poll, 48% say that the state of the state is terrible. Second place was not great. You can still vote at WPR.org. I'm Cynthia Schuster, filling in for Joy Cardine on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.